appreciate this opportunity to be here with you at Macedonia Church. I understand this is, you met here, I guess, fourth Sunday last month for the first time? And I must confess, I mean, it is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful meeting house. I know you thank God for it. I know that there's been a lot of labors, probably a few nights awake. Been a lot of prayers that have gone up. And certainly the Lord has richly blessed you. And my prayer is that, as Brother Ronnie stated, and which you already know, and I'm sure Brother Will has already made mention of this fact, this is a beautiful meeting house. But her true beauty is what I'm seeing now. It's kind of like the Old Testament tabernacle in the wilderness. It was made of or covered in ram skins and badger skins dyed red. Probably wasn't much to look at from the outside, but her beauty, the silver and the gold, and more importantly, the Ark of the Covenant and the place where God dwelt between the cherubims, the presence of God. That's what made that tabernacle so beautiful. And so this morning, this is the same here. I appreciate the preaching that's gone before. These dear brethren, Brother Ronnie, it's a wonderful text. And certainly there's more ahead of us. You know, and I hope whenever I get to be, you know, it's amazing the older I get, how I have moved the definition of old back. So that text is really encouraging. Because I brought my youngest son with me this morning, and I remember back when I was 17, 18 years old, what my definition of old was. My dad, mom, they got started early in life, and my dad is always 20 years older than me. But think of this, when I was 18, graduating from high school, my dad was 38, and I thought he was old. Now, I thank the Lord that there's been a lot more ahead of him, and there's a lot more ahead for us. And I don't care what our age is. I assume that if the Lord blesses me to live to be 100, that I'll talk about others that are 105 as being old. And there'll be still more land possessed. This morning I want to speak to you, the Lord being our helper. I desire an interest in your prayers. As we've already mentioned, Jesus Christ, and certainly the beauty of the church, one of the things is the church itself is obviously the members. But Jesus Christ asked the question one time. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that thou art John the Baptist, or Jeremiah, or Elias, or one of the other prophets." And Christ said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And upon this rock, the rock that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You think of all the things in this world, that great places of this world that you would like to see, maybe to visit. Places that structures that are great pyramids of Egypt, maybe some of the Washington monuments, or some of the Roman Colosseums, and maybe the Sistine Chapel. I always liked art, and so I would like to see maybe sometime. I would have loved to have seen the Sistine Chapel to see the work of Michelangelo. All those things are beautiful places. But you know, of all the places on the face of the earth, the Lord's church, that's what He built.
Amen.
And that's what gives it its worth.
That's right.
White House, the seat of power, trade towers, whatever you want to call it. None of those structures, those were only built by men.
That's right.
The Lord's church, that is what's worth having. That's what you're a part of this morning. Jesus Christ also promised that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. He ultimately is what gives this place its beauty. Whenever we've sang this morning, and I believe the Spirit of the Lord was here and the preaching has gone before, and to see brothers and sisters of like precious faith, I've never met many of you before, and yet I'm made to feel like I'm part of a family, that I'm loved for Christ's sake, and that you're loved, that I'm able to love you for Christ's sake. But most of all, that this is the place where Jesus would meet with you, meet with us. He's the one that is altogether lovely. He's the bright and the morning star. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I know, my beloved, as we... I maybe speak for myself. There's a lot of times in projects that I've finished, and there's something nice about having a finished project. I used to work as a claims adjuster. And I know what you're thinking. But I always tried to do the very best job I could to try to consider the people that were injured and the damage that was done. And it didn't matter what you did, it was never good, because if you did what the person was pleased with, usually the company wasn't. And if the company was pleased, then the person wasn't. So it was just you're kind of in a catch-22. I got out of that line of work. But in doing that kind of work, and that thought just left me. So I'm going to move on. Needless to say, don't let your children grow up to be claims adjusters. I wouldn't dare say that. There's a lot of good folks, and I never worked for a company that never, ever told us to try to cheat or hold back. It was not a matter of that. And so I must say that in all honesty. But in working in this, used to having to do that, there's some things that I want to move on from that. I don't know where that thought was going, so I'll just leave it behind. We find over the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm talking about finishing a job. I'm sorry, that's where it goes. That was you ever heard of a hamster in a wheel? Because I could finish getting one customer satisfied, you know, get their car back on the road, or maybe compensate them for their injuries and be finished with that, what they call a claim. And I would get that one done, and I'd get three more. And it was that all the time, it seemed. Get one finished and get two more. Sometimes you might get five done in a week, but yet you get six more. And so there was no way of ever finishing that work. And I understand, I left that, and so for about a year, I didn't know what exactly it is I was going to do. So what I did is I said, well, I can cut grass. Not that that's an easy job, because in Georgia, when it's 105 degrees, and everything you touch makes you itch, It's not an easy work. But it was nice at the end of the day, whenever you left a place, to look back at that place and you realize that it was complete until the next time you had to mow. And so there was something nice about that. And it was a time whenever you finished that, it was like, whew. Okay. And it's all right, my beloved, for you members here this morning to have that kind of reaction whenever you see this that God has blessed you to have. But you know, I imagine in the building of this place, I would like to, and I don't mean this lightly, but I would like to have, if I had something here for every prayer that went up while it was being built. Every request that was given and made before God for the building and this church. All the things that went into it. I mean, listen, it's hard to get two people to agree on anything a lot of times. And the process of building a building like this, I understand what it takes to come to a consensus. And it is a huge endeavor. And I'm sure there were a lot of prayers that went up by the pastor and each of the members here. God grant us and provide for us the things that we need. And now we're finished. And certainly our prayers are turned toward thanksgiving. Sometimes there might be a feeling that, Lord, you've blessed us so much here that maybe we ought not to ask for anything else. And my beloved, I'm here to tell you that that's a big mistake. Because we want to realize that when Jesus Christ, first of all, we need His presence. He's promised that when two or three are gathered together in My name, that I am in the midst of them. Let me ask you a question. Whenever we come together here, are we coming here in anticipation that the presence and the manifest presence of Jesus Christ would be here with us? He's the one, my beloved, this morning. I wanted to see the meeting house, but He, listen, my friends, especially when you stand up to preach, as beautiful as this place is, it does not one thing to help me to deliver and to preach at this time. I will see Him. And I believe He's been here. And He is here with us. But now is not the time to stop asking. As a matter of fact, the truth be known, we probably need more now than we needed before the building was completed. I want to go over here to Deuteronomy. Just as I know this is not the church here, but hey, I heard, I believe, a preacher brother say one time he'd rather build a picket fence at the top of a hill as opposed to send an ambulance at the bottom. That makes a lot of sense in life and also in the things and the service of the Lord. Whenever the Lord was warning the children of Israel over in the Deuteronomy chapter 8, and He told them that there'd be a land wherein thou shalt eat. And this is the ninth verse. Chapter 8, verse 9. You start there. He says, thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou art eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. But He says, beware, thou forget it not the Lord thy God, in not keeping this His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest that when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and that when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The Lord just simply is letting us know what our propensities are. We're sheep. Our propensity is to forget sometimes. So certainly we want to thank the Lord our God for such blessings. But don't be afraid to ask for more. Who here would actually believe that you could deplete the Lord? That you could cause Him to run a little short or a little dry? There's not a single one of you here this morning, is there? I want to take God's Word just a moment. Whenever we find Jesus over here in the Gospel of John, remember when it speaks of Him, Jesus Christ, whenever you think about Him coming into this world and living some 33 and a half years here, whenever He entered into His ministry, about the age of 30 years old, the people that He was around, He was constantly healing. He was constantly feeding, constantly teaching, constantly healing the lepers, causing the blind and the deaf to hear, the blind to see, making the lame to walk, feeding the multitudes, casting out devils. Do you reckon there would have been a crowd around Him? You reckon that you never find the Lord? There was times when He would take His disciples away. There were times when He had separated Himself to pray unto the Father. But Jesus Christ, whenever we see Him in this world, we realize that there's something about Him that the Apostle John wrote about Him. And speaking of Him, he says that of all His fullness, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. In other words, Jesus Christ was fullness. And He's always was fullness. There was never, of all the healing and all the miracles and all the teachings and everything that He did, He was never depleted one bit. And my beloved, sometimes the old devil will come along and he'll make us think that we ought not to ask the Lord. Maybe, talking about our discipleship or our walk. Sometimes we've had a day, maybe a week, a time or a season where we're not as followed or feel as close to the Lord as we ought. And the devil, the first thing he's going to do, why in the world would you want to ask God? Who are you to be asking Him anything? I'm here to tell you, my beloved, based on what I see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. And that's Him, my friends, this morning. And I want you to know here at Macedonia Church at Augusta Old Line, there at Mount Perrin, wherever the church may be, my beloved, we need the grace of Almighty God. And thanks be unto God, there is no depletion of that in the blessings of the Lord. I find of time and time, Jesus Christ. I want to look at a time right here in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John real quickly. There's a little lady there by the well. Notice something about Jesus Christ. I believe God is pleased. I believe He thrills Him whenever we ask of Him. Jesus Christ teaching over in the 11th chapter of Luke, He told us, the disciples there, He says, you have not because you ask not. He says, ask and you shall receive. He says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. I believe that so much more now, my beloved. You've been asking the Lord and you've received. You've been knocking and He's opened it up. And you've been seeking for Him and He's been found. I truly believe that here this morning. But now's not the time to stop. Jesus Christ over in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. You know the story of the woman there, the Samaritan woman by the well. You remember there the disciples went there and they were there with the Lord. And in doing that, they sat down there and they went to get Him something to eat because He was tired. Jesus Christ was tired in body. Oh, He was verily God and verily man. He was tired in body. I read a time when He was asleep down in the ship. You remember when the storm arose? I believe there whenever He was in the wilderness for some 40 days, He was tempted of the devil. And what did the devil do? He came on the scene, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Jesus Christ, and that's another sermon, but where did He take Him back to, Brother Ronnie? The very Prince of Peace right there met the Prince of the Power of the Air. And what did the Prince of Peace do? He went to the Word of the Lord to face the devil. What is He teaching us there? Jesus could have vaporized him.
What did he do? He took and went with the word of the Lord.
Reckon he's trying to teach us where we're to go? Reckon he's trying to teach us where we're to go?
Amen.
But here, my beloved Jesus Christ, he's there. He was in that garden. He was indeed, met the devil. Met him face to face. Went to the word of the Lord. Wasn't depleted, but yet he was hungry. He was hungry. We read where he's sleeping. We read where he was tired. And that was physically. But my beloved, he was verily God. And it was not at that time. He was never there, my beloved, when he was less than God and less than man upon this earth here. I don't understand that. Don't ask me to explain that. I don't understand that. But this much I do know. Jesus Christ was with his disciples in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John, and he was tired, and they went about to get him something to eat. About the 12th hour, about the noonday. Noon of the day, this little woman's by the well. Typically, you sisters here, there's something I know. I got a little 15-year-old daughter, and she's got me wrapped just as tight as a banjo string. But there's some things I know about her. And most of my wife and all, I know most sisters don't like to sweat. I mean, I saw a film the other day of 1940. A lady sitting there doing some welding during World War II. The soldiers were fighting. They had women to work in the factories. And they had this gal. She was sitting there with that welder getting that metal. And she raised that thing up. And you know what she did? She took a handkerchief and tapped her head. Put that helmet and went back to work. The reason I say that, this woman here brought that, came to the well at high noon. She's probably a woman, from what I can tell, maybe didn't fit in with the other women. Most women went to get the well, get the water early in the morning, early in the day, in the cool of the day. She's out there, high noon. Remember, the Lord said, I must needs go to Samaria. Why? Because there's one here he needs to talk with. I'm not going to read all this to you, but you remember how that the Lord asked her to say, give me to drink? She then proceeds on, and he tells her that he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. Listen what the Lord, she says, she says to the Lord, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Okay? Now what is she asking from him? He's tired, he's sitting here, his disciples are gone to get him something to eat, get him some provisions. And here she is, and she asked of him this water. Now she's still thinking it's in terms of the natural. But the next question, he says unto her, he says, a woman, she says, and he says, go call thy husband and come hither. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and the one that thou now hast, whom thou now hast, is not thine husband, and that thou saidest thou truly. This woman here, she says, when she says, I have no husband, he says, that you said true. He says, but you've had 5, and the one that you now have is not your husband. Now, somebody, I've heard all kinds of explanations on this, and I'm not going to sit here and bear down and get white-knuckled on this. I've heard other men come up with other scenarios, but this much I do know. You say, well, I don't know why she, what happened to her 5 previous husbands, but this is what I do know. When she went to start to rehearse this story, she says, come see a man that told me all things that I've done.
That's right.
If she had had 5 husbands and they all died natural causes, killed in battle, killed in war, she didn't do that. There ain't a woman alive that
credit for having a husband that's been killed accidentally or in war.
Yeah, you're right.
She says, "This come to, see a man that told me all things I've done." Okay? She's asking for the Lord this water. She's had five husbands, and the one she now has is number... She's living with number six. Or,
yeah.
Okay? But I want you to know the number of completion is on the scene.
That's right.
Number seven is on the scene. The ones, what I like to look at that and see, she's been looking for love in all the wrong places. And here's the one that could touch her soul. Here's the one that's given her that water. She thought maybe it was spiritual, but it's, I mean, natural, but it's spiritual water. She left there with number seven. Now I want you to notice the Lord. Because his disciples come back and they marvel. He's talking to this woman who's a Samaritan. He sat down there. The reason they left was because he was tired. But now he has done the will of the Father. He has distributed. He's given to one who asked, "Sir, give me this water." And notice what they find about Jesus. In the 31st verse, it says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed and said, say, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And my beloved, I want you to know that the Lord was revived by one who came to him and said, "Give me." See, we're not going to, you can't out ask the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
You can't out ask him.
How about the little woman had the issue of blood?
That's right.
The Lord's got a crowd of people all around about him. There's so many around him that there is a throng against him. And yet as he goes, there was one little woman who had an issue of blood and had spent all she had on the positions of this world. And she said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." It was against the law for her to come there. She had an issue. She was a woman with an issue of blood. She should have been separated out. But see, the one who is full of grace and truth is coming by. And the one that we receive grace for grace, here he comes. This crowd's around him. Can you imagine if you went downtown Atlanta and the word got out that there's a man down here that all you got to do is bring him down here and he'll make your lame son or daughter walk, your blind son or daughter to see, your deaf family members to hear. He's even raised the dead. Reckon there'd be a crowd around him? There was a crowd around him. But this one here came looking to take something from him. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment. He stopped and said, "Who touched me?" "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? See this great multitude round about us?" He said, "I felt virtue go out of me." I want you to think about that. There was only that whole crowd was around, no doubt, maybe looking to be fed. They might have wanted a little something out of him. They might have wanted just watching for curiosity. You know, there's always the thrill seekers, those that are just hanging around to see something new. But this woman came to get something from him. And he stopped and turned and looked on her. You say, "Well, why?" There she was, afraid. You say, "Why did he do that?"
because he loved her.
That's right.
That's why. He loved her. Have you ever gotten a hold of something or taken something that you didn't feel like was quite belonged to you? Maybe. Huh? How would you feel having to sneak up on somebody to take something and get it and then walk off with it? Reckon the devil would have ever given her any peace over that? Or reckon he'd have been there to accuse her? You took something, you broke the law. You took something that didn't belong to you. You took something by deception. You snuck up behind him and took something that didn't belong to you. Jesus turned and looked on her. She began to tell what was in her heart. I touched you, Lord. He said, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
That's right. Amen.
He sent her away in peace. He acknowledged she took something that didn't belong to her, yet he freely gave to her. I got one more here. Go over here to Luke. Go to chapter 11. There's two ladies over here. Your sisters can relate to this, I'm sure. You hear preachers talk about it all the time. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. We won't have to read this. Remember how the Lord had come to Martha's house? She'd received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary and which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now there's two people here, Mary and Martha. And the Lord does not rebuke Martha. But what does she begin to do? The Lord, she rebukes the Lord. Lord, do you not care? Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Lord, do you not care that I shouldn't say that, I don't want to add words. But our thinking sometimes, you ever had a sister or brother that got on your nerves? I was the oldest, and so I had two brats. My sister is about 14 months younger than I am. We were like twins. I say that jokingly because I love them dearly, and they are the cream of the Hooven crop. There's a crop. But there's times that we annoy one another. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Bid that she come and help me. Now, notice what Martha's wanting to do. She's wanting to serve the Lord. She's wanting to give something, make him comfortable, make him feel at home. She's wanting to give him something. But Mary is wanting to take something from him. Which one did the Lord say was the best? The one that was taking something from him. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing. One thing. We live in a day that likes ease of directions. Your days, like my days, are sometimes very busy, I'm sure. I don't care how busy it is, there's one thing needful.
Right.
I don't have to build you a list of five steps of how to. It's just one thing.
And Martha and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Do you realize everything else outside of a spiritual realm, my beloved, you can lose and be taken away from you? I don't care what it is. God forbid, the meeting house in Augusta. I love it. It's been a place that's been a home to me for about 14 years. To be taken away. My natural home, my family, the things of this world could be gone. But here's something the Lord says shall not be taken away from you. And it's spiritual. And here was one that was taken from Him. And she says she's desired the better part. The Lord has blessed us greatly, blessed you greatly. Beautiful place. Beauty of it is certainly what's on the inside. His presence, the fellowship. It's the ground and pillar. It is the receptacle of the truth. It is the place where the truth is the ground and the pillar of the truth. The joy of the truth. The joy of the fellowship of the saints. My beloved, because you've asked so much and been given so much, don't be afraid to keep on asking. May God bless you, because He is full of grace and truth. And I see and read in His Word where Jesus, He was joy to Him to give.
Amen.
God is not miserly. He's always given us His very best. And He gave it in His only begotten Son. And He gave Him for you. And I trust for me, the chief of sinners. And so my beloved, let us rejoice in His goodness, His grace, His blessings. And let us keep on asking Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith,
who
for the joy that was set before Him.